are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Eddie Johnson with 1 second to go. He's shot. It's good.
Detroit basketball.
Everybody, the NBA playoffs are almost here. Don't miss the big storylines and team previews you can find every day on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast on the Audacity app, wherever you get your podcast. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. You can find me on YouTube, at Kuz Ballroom. And I am recording this podcast right now during halftime of the Pistons' final game of the season against the Miami Heat. So they're currently down by 22. Like, almost everyone sitting out. Almost everyone that, like, really matters sitting out. I know Killian's playing, but, like, it's just not that entertaining of a game at all. And I'm sorry, I don't know. I know I told you guys to watch the final two games, but I'm not watching this final, the rest of this game. I've seen enough in this first half. I'm just not. Like, if I finish the podcast before this game ends, then I'll go out there and finish it. But outside of that, I'm just not going to do that. But I'm recording it during now, and Pistons are down by 22. It looks like they're going to secure the final tank and not have to worry about. I believe that what was going on was if the Pistons were to somehow win this game, they could fall to eighth because they get in like a three-way tie with OKC and I figure who else, but they could fall to eighth in the lottery. But as long as they lose this game, they can't fall no longer than sixth, which is the best case for the Pistons, because as much as I'm hoping that they don't fall, we have to prepare for the worst, and hopefully we fall no longer than six as long as they continue to lose this game. So anyways, what we're going to talk about in today's podcast, obviously we have some big news about a Piston legend. Big Ben Wallace has been inducted to the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about that. But before we even get into all of that, I asked all of you guys on Twitter to give me what your guys' favorite moment or favorite thing from this season, their favorite part of this season. We're going to go through all of your guys' submissions. We're going to say everyone's favorite part, and then I'll say what my favorite part is, and then we can get to, and then later on we can get a little bit into Ben Wallace making the Hall of Fame, what this means, etc. So, like I said, I tweeted out this earlier around, 1:30 p.m. before the Pistons game today. I said, final game of the season today. It's been a long season. Before tonight's game, tell me, what has been your favorite part of this season? What is your favorite moment? And we got a few submissions. Let's go through them. First one is from Merch Guy Jeff. He says, when Saben Lee got his shot and was a hit, giving us at the time Bay, Stewart, and Lee all hits with Hayes on the injury reserve, I knew we had a future with Weaver at the helm and all these losses were going to be all right. My singular moment would be Pistons win at home versus Lakers was pretty fun. And he has a picture of that picture of Blake smiling up at LeBron when they beat him. So yeah, that was a pretty cool win. And a season that had very little wins and obviously a ton of losing, beating the Lakers definitely was pretty fun. It was pretty dope, especially because all the stuff that happened on Twitter afterwards, there was a bunch of people talking trash about the Pistons throughout that game, a bunch of national guys, and that Pistons ended up winning. We ended up being able to talk trash to them. It was pretty fun that night. So I agree, that was pretty fun. And also seeing Saben Lee get his chance and make the most out of it definitely was pretty cool as well. Like, there was a point midway through the season when Saben Lee first got his chance that he was having, like, he was on the rookie ladder, the NBA.com rookie ladder. He was, like, eighth or something when he first got. He was going crazy to start off. So, and I know he's having a good game actually tonight while I'm recording this right now. He has 6 points off the bench, six points, three assists, two rebounds in 13 minutes so far. So, I mean, Saban has proven that he should be at least considered as, like, part of the future backup role for the point guard position. But we'll see how it goes. But definitely one of the high points of this season, of a season that did not have many at all. Hal tweets me as well, saying, favorite single moment, the Pistons draft Killian Hayes. I'm not shocked at all that you said that, Hal. I'm sure there's another person in Pistons Twitter that probably would say that as well, and you guys know who I'm talking. You know who I'm talking about, Hal. Anyways, he says, also, his favorite takeaway was, on a larger scale, Weaver knowing how to set the team up for sustained success, even as a tanking squad. Seeing the balance of the squad from over the year as they... No, seeing the balance of the squad form over the year as they've been competitive, even in losses. Yeah, I guess part of the thing that made this season more watchable, it got a little rough there midway through the season before Killian got back, I'm not going to lie. But part of the thing that made it more watchable at the beginning of the season, and then even later on to the season once Killian got back, was the fact that, yes, this team was losing a ton of games. This obviously it was like a tank season, not outright tank. I guess Troy Rue would like to call it a restoring. But It was a tanking season, but even during this, they were competitive in almost every game they played. They beat a lot of good teams like the Lakers. They beat the Celtics. So it was fun to see it. They played really hard. Props to Dwayne Casey. It was great to see it. And it definitely made it easier to watch. Usually, you know, if you're just going full Philadelphia 76ers and just tanking the hell out of it and it's just nothing to watch for, then it's just so tough to watch. And even though it did get a little tough during midway through the season, definitely this team playing as hard as they did made it a little bit more sustainable to watch. So I agree with that. The next one is from the John Dobry group. He says, "They remind me of the Bad Boys and Going to Work Pistons at times, especially Beef Stew. The gelling of the team and culture beginning. Casey getting extended, SVG stench being removed." That's funny, SVG stench being removed. It wasn't just SVG's, I mean, I guess you could say SVG stench being removed, but like almost the entire team was removed. Like legit, only Sekou's here from the previous year. So it's crazy how bad like Torrey Weaver completely just reworked this squad. And even during the season, got rid of D-Rose, Blake. It was pretty crazy. But yeah, this team definitely resembled some energy and fight in them. I'm not going to compare them to the Bad Boys or Going to Work team because they sucked. But I understand what you're saying. They played hard, and it was fun to see throughout the year. So anyways, next one we're going to go with Pangrin Abroad. He said, Abroad, I think it is. Not my fault. He says, "This team has so much character. I think that's going to help us as they develop their skills. They learn to keep playing no matter the circumstances. It made watching them such a pleasure this season." Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I think that was a really good way of saying it. They had a lot of character, a lot of pride. They played really hard. And it, like you said, it made it much easier to watch this season. In a season that, like I said, is just losing, something has to help you want to keep watching as a fan, something that makes you want to tune in every night. And the fact that you know you got Jeremy Grant playing hard, proving people wrong. You got Isaiah Stewart down there bullying people, playing hard. The fact you just got this team playing to the mentality of Detroit that people would like to say, it really made it easier to watch on some nights than it usually would. So we're going to come back with even more submissions. I think I got like 5 or 6 more from you guys. This is pretty cool. And then after that, like I said, I'm going to tell you guys what my favorite part of this season was. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Ben Wallace being inducted to the Hall of Fame. But before we get into that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help in making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who makes your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately reduces hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, go to Indeed.com/locked for a $75 credit valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. So we're going to continue going through the submissions you guys had for what was your guys' favorite part of this season, and a season that was a lot of losing. We have to find something positive in it. So we're going to continue this. This one's from Pistons Pro Wrestling Fans. He says, the Blake trade. That's it. I know a lot of you guys at the time. I know the Blake trade, honestly, was a little bit of like mixed emotions at the time. Because and actually, it wasn't a trade. He said Blake trade. It wasn't a trade. Blake got bought out. But I get what you mean. Blake getting bought out was a little bit of mixed emotions, at least for me. Because like I've said at the very beginning when I first became the host of this podcast, Blake was like my favorite Piston. And it was a joy watching him this season. He was actually healthy, and seeing how quickly it fell because of how bad his health just took away from him, and seeing what he was like, and knowing that like the way his era ended definitely wasn't like how someone like me would want the Blake era to end. I'm sure a lot of Pistons fans didn't want him to leave like that. We didn't want it to happen like that. And then, of course, he gets bought out, and then he goes to Brooklyn. His first game, he dunks. And now he's been looking a lot healthy. He looks a lot better in Brooklyn. He's been playing a lot better. And I'm sure that leaves a sour taste in some Pistons' mouths. But he ended up giving a decent amount of his money back to get bought out, which helps the Pistons. And also, him getting bought out opened up minutes, figuratively at least, for Sekou Doumbouya and Jeremy Grant at the 4, where people believe that Jeremy's probably the best at. And also allowed Sadiq Bey to play a lot of minutes at the 3 and while moving Jeremy to the 4. So I understand why people probably liked it at the time instantly because, you know, we got this vet off the team. And I get why a lot of people would point to that as like a major shift in the season because that really like secured, yeah, this team is completely done with the past and we're completely moving forward. So I get why that would be like a big point in the season that a lot of people go back to. So I get it. Next one would be Joe Kotler. He says, my favorite individual moment was seeing Diallo set his career high in person. And then he says, the Troy Reaver experience has to be acknowledged too. Shifting everything from the roster to the culture is something I've never experienced as a Detroit sports fan. Yeah, I gotta be honest. I don't think I've ever experienced that either. Obviously, I'm pretty young, 23, and I've been a Detroit fan since, like, I don't know, I'd say that, like, since I can have, like, my first memory, I'd say, like, maybe 2008 or 2007, maybe. And I don't know, like, with the Lions, I've never seen, like, a big culture change like this. Like, they've been better than sometimes, but it's never really changed that much. And with the Pistons, they've just been so bad for a while as well. And they've been better, like, kind of like the Lions. They've been good some years, like, good, like, compared to, like, where they were previously. But I don't know. Yeah, I think I probably agree with you. I don't think I've ever experienced, like, completely destroying the roster and flipping it to where only one player is left in within, like, what, like, a few months? I've never seen something like that. So that definitely was pretty, like, cool to witness. And, yeah, that Diallo setting his career high a couple games ago definitely was pretty crazy. I've said multiple times in this podcast how high I am on Hamidou Diallo, and it seeing him go off like that, like, he can't be stopped going to the rim. It was pretty fun. It just, I'll leave it at that. It was really fun, and I definitely agree with you. It was cool to watch. Next one is from Ben Inglesoul. He says, I'd say it's a tie between the Magic loss and the Nets victory. You see, now, the crazy thing is that this is the type of season we had where, like, someone's favorite moment is going to be a loss because of what it could mean for the lottery. That's where we're at now. I really hope that we never, ever, ever have to deal with this again. Like, I understand that it had to happen this year, but I'm telling you guys now, I don't think I'll be able to survive doing this again for another season. Because having stuff like that has to be one of your best moments of the season. It's just trash. I can't do it. I was on board this year for it. We're going to get a top pick, but, like, please, not again. I can't. I just can't do it. It took a lot out of me, even with all of them playing super hard and all the rookie storylines. It still was really hard for me at a certain point to watch them, knowing that it's just going to be bad product, loss, loss, loss. Like, I can't do it again. Let's make sure we don't get to a point where next year we're saying our favorite moment was a loss to the Orlando Magic again. But I get why you said it. I get why you said it because of the season that the Pistons are having and what it meant for them in the offseason. So I get it. Next one is from Big Dog Pistons. He says, favorite part, stripping down the team of the bloated vets and contracts. Favorite moment, hiring Troy Weaver. All right, that's pretty cool. I didn't see no one else say that one. That actually was, I don't think anyone mentioned, like, a lot of people are mentioning Troy Weaver as part of their favorite moments, but no one's actually said just hiring Troy Weaver until you did. So I think that probably is the biggest thing, obviously. Troy Weaver completely destroyed this team. He got rid of everybody, brought in his guys. The Pistons were, like, I wouldn't say they were in salary cap hell, but they definitely, like, shedded some salary. They got vets out of there. They, like, it was crazy because last offseason I was telling people and I was making videos saying the Pistons have one of the most bleakest futures because they didn't have a great young core and they didn't really have a lot of cap space either. It was dim. And then Troy Weaver took like maybe 2 months to completely flip it and get good young prospects, good salary cap, good vets, get a good picks in the top. Like that happened all legit in a few months. So that definitely is probably my favorite moment of the season as well, hiring Troy Weaver. He's been really good. Next one is from Motor City Hoops, who will be appearing on this podcast sometime in the future. Be tuned for that. He says, the growth of almost every single player on the roster, Stewart's first three-pointer. Honestly, I'm going to keep it a buck. I can't remember Isaiah Stewart's first three. I know he's, like, obviously, I remember, like, the storyline behind him. Oh, he eventually will start shooting threes, but I don't remember when he hit his very first one. I can't say I remember it at all. But definitely, that was pretty cool to see Isaiah Stewart start shooting threes already. We were told he wouldn't start doing it until next year, and he's already doing it. So it definitely was cool to see that. Next thing he said, like, with the growth of almost every single player on the roster, another thing that you have to give props to Dwayne Casey. It was definitely cool seeing everyone play hard and seeing almost every player legit get better in some areas. Like, Josh Jackson had himself a nice season. Frank Jackson, great season. Probably going to come back next year. Diallo played pretty well when he got here. Sadiq Bey got better throughout the season. Isaiah Stewart got better throughout the season. Jeremy Grant had himself a career year. Killian Hayes looked better once he got back. Like, you can just go all the way down the list. Mason Plumlee even looked good this year. Like, a lot of, like, almost every player, you can just go down the roster and everyone just looked like they got better in some area or had a good season according to, like, what you expected from them before the season. So, yeah, I agree with you. Next one, and this is the last one. This is from Stilo. He says, Saban dropping 20 versus Orlando. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Saban going off and getting dunks and stuff is definitely cool. Bay going nuts versus Boston. Yes. Sadiq Bey has a tendency to like struggle for like the first quarter or like for like a few minutes, and then just out of nowhere he'll have like 1 point, and the next thing you know, like you blink your eyes a couple times and he has 14 points out of nowhere. So seeing that kind of thing happen definitely is pretty cool. He can catch fire real quick. And then Killian showing his aggression versus Chicago. Now, thank you for saying that, because now we're going to shift into what my favorite, my favorite moment is, and also my biggest takeaway from this season. So first, I'll go with my favorite moment. It is Killian showing his aggression against Chicago because of the reasons like we talked about in the podcast when that happened. When Killian went off, we had that big argument, and we ended up having dialed in Detroit on the podcast to explain his side and everything. But the big thing was, like, before he had that game was, oh, Killian's not showing aggressive. He's not being aggressive. He can't do this. He can't do that. He's just scared to shoot, blah, blah. And then literally a few hours later, he went out there and had, what was it, 21 points, hit career high, and was aggressive as hell all night. So it was definitely that was definitely my favorite part of the season, my favorite moment, because I literally was just defending him all day that day, and then literally a few hours later he made me look really good. So it definitely was one of those things where I'm like sitting over here dusting off my shoulders like, yeah, you know, I was right, you know, I was right. So definitely probably my favorite moment. And then my biggest takeaway from this season is, honestly, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you guys, it's not gonna be as positive as everybody else's is. I know, like, we're expecting like, oh, come on, we're gonna try to keep this positive, we're gonna try to be happy, end the season on a high note. I'm sorry, I can't. My biggest takeaway from this season is I don't ever want to go through this again. I'm sorry. I know people are like, oh, it's going to get us a top pick. If we have to do it again, get another top pick, we have to do it. No, I'm sorry. I can't. As a fan, I just can't do this again. My takeaway is please don't let this happen again. Because this was really, really tough to watch. It just was. Like, the basketball, while they played hard, it wasn't good basketball. Seeing them lose all the time and knowing that, like, the thing I think really hurt the most that, like, made it hard to watch is knowing that, like, you're watching and you want them to lose. Like, that is the worst feeling ever. Watching your team and then having, like, root against them doing good things. Like, when Killian had that shot, I think it was, like, what was it? Like, his second game back. And he had that deep three to win the game. The fact that I had to sit there and actually root for him to miss that, I don't want to have to do that. Like, I don't want to have to, like, and then the game he was playing really aggressive. I don't want to have to root for him to miss those free throws down the stretch. I don't want to have to root for him to turn the ball over against that, there was another game down the stretch where he, like, turned the ball over three separate times down the stretch to secure the loss. Like, I don't want to have to root for that. It's just, I don't want to have to go through this ever again. This sucks. It sucks to lose, but then it definitely sucks to, like, have to sit here and root for losses as well. And, like, please, that's my takeaway. I don't want to do this ever again. Please, never again. But, yeah, thank you guys for sharing your guys' favorite moments and favorite takeaway from this season. It definitely, we need to try to find something from this season in a season full of losing, find something to talk about and be happy about. I know mine was a bit dim, but I'm happy that a lot of you guys were able to find things to make you guys tune in every night and give you guys like a positive outcome from this season. I'm happy you guys were able to do that, and it was a lot of fun seeing what you guys' thoughts were. So when we get back, we're going to talk about Ben Wallace being inducted into the Hall of Fame. But before we get there, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, BetOnline AG. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there was one problem I ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? That's where I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA has its playoffs starting up, the NHL and MLB are also still in full swing. If you want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And then, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but high in protein and fiber. A flavor I suggest is the peanut butter flavor, packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. And like I said, when we came back, we were going to talk about Piston legend, one of the fan favorites ever, Ben Wallace finally getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. So before we can talk about the positive with Big Ben being inducted, of course, you guys know it if you guys were on Twitter or if you guys just simply were aware of what the hell would probably be said once Ben Wallace be inducted to the Hall of Fame. Let's just keep it a buck. The Pistons, all Pistons fans want him in there. We understand why he needs to be in there. But you knew there was going to be some trolls. You knew there was going to be some people that are like, oh, he can't play no offense. Why was he even in? He shouldn't be in there, blah, blah. Obviously, you knew that was going to happen. I mean, he already had this dude from ESPN. I don't even want to say his name and give him credit. All I'm going to say is he's some baseball dude, and he tweets out, Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. Woof. What's the baseball equivalent of that? And then he makes a comment about, not only does he make a comment about like, oh, can't wait for Kendrick Perkins and his Hall of Fame speech, which is this utterly disrespectful. He should just get, like, he should have his Twitter just stripped from him. He also goes on and said this confidently, like thinking he was actually saying something smart. He says, someone replied to him and said he was the best, he was arguably the second best player, probably the second best player on the Pistons when they won a championship. And Dude responds to this fan and says, no, he was the fourth best player on those teams at best. Now, my God. Now, this is the kind of thing that makes me like wish that like makes me okay with not ever, like if I don't make it to ESPN or like the fact that I'm not ESPN now, like I don't feel bad after like hearing stuff like this. Like, bro, come, like you can't be employed at a sports company and then think people are supposed to take your sports opinion seriously, and you are saying statements like Ben Wallace was at best the fourth best player on that team. And then he also went on to ask like, oh, is Ben Wallace ever a top 20 player in the NBA? Well, let me ask you this, buddy. Do you know what all NBA teams are? You know what those are? You know how many players are on each all NBA team? Five. Ben Wallace was on there, what, five times? So at the very least, he was top 15 those years, at the very least, top 15, top 20, at least those years, at the least those years. There was multiple times he finished second All-NBA team. So at the he could have been even top 10 those years. You want to know something else? You know what MVP voting is? Ben Wallace finished top 10 in MVP voting three times. So then at the very least that time, he has to be at least top 10 player in the NBA. Like, dude, dudes like that, I know a lot of you guys can be like, oh, cool, you shouldn't even give him his energy. No, that's not how I rock. I call you out. If you say something stupid and you start coming on here on that BS, I'm going to call you out on it. I'm not one of those guys who are going to be like, oh, just don't give him his shine. You talking about him is going to give him too much credit. No. If you say something dumb, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to flame you. Simple as that. That's how I rock. But anyways, let's get back positive about Big Ben. So, Big Ben, I've told you guys before that, like, you know, I'm 23 and I don't really have, like, all the way, like, of the going to work team. I don't have memories like throughout regular season, knowing the highs and ups and like storylines, drama, etc. But I remember the teams. I remember watching them. I remember the players. I have favorite players, etc. But Ben Wallace, definitely. Rip is my favorite Piston because I remember waking up one day and seeing him with the mask on. And immediately I was like, oh yeah, that's my favorite player. But Ben probably is like, he's like tied up there as my best, my favorite player during those times because, dude, you can't tell me that if you grew up watching the Pistons, you didn't have that fake afro or want an afro. Like, growing up, all I wanted was an afro. I wanted to be just like Ben Wallace. I wanted to have an afro. I went and got I had a little fake afro thing, and then in the stands, you saw everyone with the fake afro. And I'll tell you this, even to this day, it happened then, and it happens even to this day at 23 years old. Anytime you hear the dong, dong, when Ben, like, shows up at a game, I get goosebumps every time. I get goosebumps instantly. So Ben is definitely like one of the most impactful players, not only in the history of basketball, but impactful players in Detroit and to the fans. And I think I can say for everybody that we're just extremely happy and proud that this dude finally has been put into the Hall of Fame. It's been a long time coming. He absolutely 100% deserves it. I don't care what anyone says. If you don't think Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer, you're just dumb. I'm sorry. There's no way you can look at this man. You can look at this man's accolades and tell me that he's not Hall of Famer. Like, let me go through his accolades for you. In case you're someone who's watching this, and thinking he's not a Hall of Famer. Let me read you this. He's an NBA champion, first off. Probably the second best player on that team. Okay? Then he's a four-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Only one other player has done that before. Dikembe Mutombo. Ben did it 2002, 2003. Took a year off in 2004. Then did it again 2005, 2006. Okay? So two-time, he went back-to-back with that. Then he's a four-time NBA All-Star, okay, from 2003 to 2006. Then he's All-NBA second team, 2003, 2004, 2006, okay? Second team. That means, like I said earlier, that means top 10 player. Obviously, actually, you know what? Let me stop being facetious. It doesn't mean you are actually top 10 because there could be like players at guards that are better than some of the forwards, whatever. They just can't fit that many guards in there. But on NBA second team, that means you're the second best big man in the league. Okay. So he was pretty damn good. He did that three times. Then in 2002, 2005, he was on NBA third team. So then he was the third best big in the NBA. Okay. So from 2002 to 2006, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. They said he was at least, at the very least, the third best big man in basketball. In 3 years, they thought he was the second best big man in basketball. Okay. Then he has 5 All-NBA defensive first teams, 1 All-NBA defensive second team. He's a 2-time rebounding leader. He's an NBA blocks leader. And he has his number retired with the Pistons and up in the rafters. If that dude doesn't scream to you, Hall of Famer, bro, you can't sit here and tell me that one of two dudes to win Defensive Player of the Year 4 times is not a Hall of Famer, and he has 5 All-NBA teams. You can't sit here and tell me he's not a Hall of Famer. Like, obviously, I can give you this. His prime just was not that long, obviously. His prime didn't last that long. But it's not about, for me at least, it's not about how long your prime is. It's about what you, actually, you know what? Let me take that back. If your prime was like one hype year and that was it, and then you like were trash after that, obviously, no. But he was good from what? Like 2001 to what would you say? Like 2007? If you have that long of a, like that little sequence right there, and in that sequence you are making history, why in that sequence, like multiple years you're making history, there's no way that you can say that he's not a Hall of Famer. I don't care how short it is. If it's like 6-7 years, and in those 7 years you are literally doing stuff that only one other player has ever done, you're a Hall of Famer, bro. And you're an NBA champion, upsetting the stacked LA Lakers. Come on, bro. You are a Hall of Famer. I like I said, I can speak for all of us. Good job, Ben. We're proud of you. Thank you for representing Detroit the way you did when you played. And trust me, we all have your back over here. And it's extremely, extremely happy to see Big Ben get in there. My question is, I saw someone tweet me this. Who's going to represent him at the Hall of Fame? At the little introductory thing. And for me, honestly, I think this would be the dopest thing. I saw some people say Chauncey. I'm telling you this right now. The dopest thing would be if they got Chauncey, Tayshaun, Rip, and Rashid all up there to introduce him into the Hall of Fame. That right there has to happen. I think that is by far what has to. There's no way that you can't do that. There's no way. That's the best five alive. Best five. That's the whole. That's the era. That's the clique. That's the group right there. That's the gang. They have to represent him there. There's no way they don't. That I don't see how anybody has not, like, I haven't seen anyone tweet that at me. I've seen some people be like, oh, Chauncey, maybe Rip, we'll see who he was closest with. No, bro, there's no way that he doesn't have his other 4 members of the best 5 alive don't represent him there. Because that would just show what that team was about. It wasn't about one player. It was about all 5 of us. I think that has to happen. There's no way. Next year, I swear to God, I better see Chauncey, Rip, Tayshaun, and Sheed all up there. I don't care. I swear to God, I better see it. But like I said, we're all happy that Ben's in there, and it well-deserved. Maybe Chauncey gets in there next. Maybe. Also, congratulations to Chris Webber, Detroit native. Went to Michigan. Obviously, everyone knows that. Congratulations to Chris Webber. He deserves it as well. We got two guys with Michigan roots here. 2 guys with Detroit roots. That's dope. All in one Hall of Fame class. That's pretty cool. But like I said, we're all happy for Ben. Thank God. About time. He was going to get in there sooner or later. And maybe, just maybe, Chauncey's next. Maybe Chauncey can get in there next. I think he has an outside shot. I think Ben gets in because of all the accolades. I don't think Chauncey has that as many accolades. But come on. I think everyone would agree that, like, watching, like, Chauncey Billups, you knew that he was, like, one of the best guards in the NBA. And Chauncey does have that Finals MVP to his name. I think that helps as well. Having the championship and then also winning Finals MVP, I think that, like, because a lot of people, like, put that narrative on the Finals MVP. We already know this. So I think that right there actually helps him a lot. So look, before we end the podcast real quick, I wasn't expecting to do this, but let me just say this. So Chauncey is an NBA champion. He's a 2004 NBA Finals MVP. He also has 5 NBA All-Stars. He only has 1 All-NBA second team in 2006. He's All-NBA third team in 2007 and 2009. He was a 2-time All-NBA defensive second team 2005-2006. And then he has a Sportsmanship Award in 2009, Teammate of the Year 2013, etc. So I don't feel like that he has as many accolades, obviously, as Big Ben. But he does have 2 FIBA gold medals. So maybe that gets him in. Maybe that helps him as well. Because it's not just what you do in the NBA. It's your basketball career in general. So maybe that helps him get in. I think he should get in. I think anyone who watched Chauncey knew that he was impactful. I mean, shoot, as soon as he went to Denver, they instantly go from not being as good as people want to instantly going to the Western Conference Finals. Like, come on. But we'll leave it there. If you guys have listened all the way here, make sure you guys actually go tweet me if you haven't already what your guys' favorite moment and favorite takeaway from the Pistons season this year. I've said it many times already, but in a season full of losing, it's really hard sometimes to find like positive things and give yourself a reason to keep watching every night. But let me know what helped you guys keep watching every night. What is your guys' biggest takeaway? What made it more fun for you guys? Even though they were losing, what made it fun for you guys? If you haven't told me that already, tweet me that at KukahillNBA. Thank you guys for listening. Go Big Ben. We're so happy that you're in there, man. So everyone in Detroit celebrating. Like, everybody's happy as hell. It's amazing to see the Big Ben finally got his respect. So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys in the next podcast. The first podcast of the offseason officially for the Pistons. So let's see where I take that then. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys then. Peace out.